Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
clap for increase. Increase, increase. Increase. Increase, increase. Just text two people, say increase. Increase. Text somebody, say increase, increase. Increase. Increase.
Network, God's great love for us. Tonight, we're going to be discussing continuation of our series, It Doesn't Take All That, regarding gifts of healing. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence in our life, God. Father, I thank you for the privilege to come boldly before your throne to receive grace and mercy from you so that we can be able to help in time of need. God, I thank you for how awesome you are. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for our physical healing and our deliverance from sin. Father, I thank you for you sending your only begotten son so that we could live life more than abundantly, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, God. I thank you for that deliverance. I thank you for that wholeness. I thank you for that restoration, God. Father, I thank you for your word going forth this evening and impacting some way in someone in such a way that they are encouraged, that they are in strength, they are strengthened, they are empowered, they are delivered, they are restored. God, I thank you for you healing them right now. I thank you for their understanding being open and their eyes being open and them being willing to submit to the authority of your word so that they can go to the next level in you and come near and near to your purposes for their life. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to this song of praise by Donald Lawrence, Deliverance.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me,
Network, God's great love for us. Tonight, Pastor Carver and I are continuing to discuss our series, It Doesn't Take All That. And the specific topic that we're discussing tonight is gifts of healing. Now, we know that so many people in the church have been taught the nine operations of the Holy Spirit are individual gifts. Because of the mistranslation in the New King James Version of the Bible that says each individual thing is a gift. And in fact, each operation, each of the nine operations of the Holy Spirit are all abilities of the same spirit. We're going to read that tonight. We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to let you go there. And while you're going there, what I'm going to do is I'm going to discuss a little bit about why we have to have this series about it doesn't take all that. What we found, Pastor Vanessa and I, in our conversations about this topic is that many people have decided their hands off of the power of the Holy Spirit altogether because they believe that it's necessary to operate in power. And one of the things that the church has been talked into in many places, not all churches, but many churches, too many churches, is that belief that operating in the power of the Holy Spirit is something that only occurred during the time of the disciples, during the early church. And we know that's not true. We know it's not true because we operate in that power every day. Now, one of the reasons it's important for all believers to believe, to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit is because God tells us that he does not want us to be like those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. God wants us to embrace fully the power of the Holy Spirit and do not have a form of godliness, but actually walk in godliness and embrace the power thereof. That is how we please him. That is how we serve him. That is how we trust him. That is how we obey him. And so we want to be deliberate in how we serve God. And yet, I know that one of the disconnects that is leading people to come to this path that we've been on of rejecting the power of the Holy Spirit and saying only some people can operate in this power is because we have missed the connection between loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving ourselves, and loving others, and operating out of the power of the Holy Spirit. See, in 1 Corinthians, we read in chapter 13 of how whatever you do for God, it doesn't count unless you do it in love. It says faith, hope, and love, these three, but love is the greatest of these three. This is the one that will endure. The greatest of these is love. And love bears all things. Love hopes all things. Love never fails, right? Well, when we are loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we are about the business of God. We are about delivering souls, empowering people, healing people, strengthening people, encouraging people, restoring people, pulling people out of the fire, warning people. And that is what love does. Love is an action word. And Holy Spirit has been given to us to give us the power to do what God is asking us to do. The devil to talk you out of using the power you have by saying that only certain people can do certain things. And this teaching has prevailed partly because when you look at the opposite of real Christianity requires you to please God, not people. Real Christianity requires you to serve God, not money. Real Christianity requires you to trust God, not lean to your own understanding. And real Christianity requires you to operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit and not your own strength, talents, and abilities, which are limited. And one of the reasons this happens is because there are those who have that spirit of Simon the Sorcerer. Remember in Acts, the book of Acts in the early church, when Simon the Sorcerer saw the apostles performing signs, miracles, and wonders, and he asked them, how do I get this power like you? Because, see, he had bewitched the people with lying signs and lying miracles and not lying wonders. And when he received, when he observed the real power, the greater power, the Holy Spirit operating in the apostles, he said, hey, wait, I want that power. He said, I can make a fortune with that. And it's that mindset. That mindset that has crippled many ministries because, see, there were people who were operating in the fullness of their calling, and they were believing to heal people with gifts of healing. And people started flocking to them, and they started gaining great wealth and notoriety because people who were delivered of impossible diseases were delivered. And wealthy people are delivered of impossible diseases, they reward those who they think are the ones who heal them. And see, this is what you got to be careful with. Is when you love God, you always understand that signs, miracles, and wonders are intended to direct people to God, intended to direct people to Jesus Christ, who made it possible for them to be healed, made it possible for them to be delivered, made it possible for them to be restored. And when we do this, we are obeying God. We're loving God because we lead them to Christ, and Christ can then present them to his heavenly Father, God Almighty. And if we don't do that, though, what happens is we get lifted up in pride, and we begin to take credit for healing and miracles and the signs and the wonders. And that's when they become lying signs, miracles, and wonders. Because see, if the glory that God's not getting is glory the devil's getting. Because see, the devil can put you up on such a high pedestal that in knocking you down, he tears down the power of God, the very fabric of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what is enabling you to do what you're doing. And if you take credit for what God did, then all the devil has to do is pull the curtains off of you, and now he's discredited God. He has turned the whole thing into a sham because now you're doing things for money. You're serving money. You're trying to get more of what helps to enrich your life instead of what is intended to enrich the lives of others. We are conduit of the power. We are distributors. We are the ones that God uses. That is a mighty privilege. But in order to be able to operate in that level of power, we have to embrace a level of humility. Before I get started, I'd like to have Pastor Carver jump in and share some of her thoughts about gifts of healing and the operating of the power of the Holy Spirit as it pertains to our topic of it doesn't take all of that. So, Pastor Carver, it's all you.
Gifts of healing, like you were saying, when we're going to be reading or just referencing 1 Corinthians 12, as I'm reading it and understanding, you know, today we're talking about healing, but there's so many components to this that you were mentioning that made me think of, you know, the lying signs and wonders. And there are so many things right now that when you said that made me think of The Secret. You know that book called The Secret? And it's about manifesting the things that you want. You know, it could be anything. And in this case, it could be, because what we're talking about is healing. And people do vision boards and do all different types of things to attract to them what they want. And there's a little bit more to it, but we're not teaching on that today. But it made me think of people doing things in their own abilities, strengths, skills, you know, skill set and their own knowledge and understanding. God has nothing to do with it. And that's where those things that do manifest, we have to understand what's the origin of them. You know what I mean? And your intent and purpose. So when I think of the gifts of healing, and you mentioned about love and that component, that key component, the next component I think of is our faith and our believing and trust in God, the originator of all this, right? And when we get away from that, we're going to get into another territory, which you mentioned, but that's why it's important to understand what it does take. And, you know, people are so quick to do all this stuff that it takes to manifest things. You know what I mean? Like cars and houses and all kinds of stuff, tangible and intangible things based on that ideology of the secret, of the law of attraction. And we know what that is, right? But they don't stop. But as we become brothers and sisters in Christ in the body, that faith and that trust in the God and, you know, our the Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth, and that we get understanding and wisdom from God is so important, as we are saying that these are the things that we do need to, these are enablements that we have. And so, you know, we got to take it back to the Word and stay on track and don't get off track, because a lot of people have mixed all this stuff up together with the secret, you know, the law of attraction, and then our gifts and our calling. And I'm like, you guys, so it becomes really crazy, but because they've mixed it all up. But this is a good topic, and we need to just always stay on the Word, period.
Amen. And, you know, this is what it comes back to for me, is the idea of carnal Christianity, being the dumbing down of the things of God so that you can get stuff. And quite honestly, God is trying to establish a relationship with you. And yes, you will experience the power of God first. Yes, you will respond to the loving hand of God first. But that is to draw you deeper into a relationship with God so that you're no longer seeking his hand and his provision, but you're seeking his faith. You're seeking his pleasure. You're seeking his glory, and you're seeking his presence in your life. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 so that we can discuss the spiritual gifts and the unity and diversity, because the operations of the Holy Spirit. One, the unity of the Spirit is that the gift is the Holy Spirit itself. Free gift of God is the Holy Spirit. Every born-again believer has the Holy Spirit. Now, God knows whether you're going to believe to operate in the fullness of that power of the Holy Spirit, whether you are not. And that is going to be based on how you are taught, how you are instructed. But one of the first things that it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." I'm going to stop there for a minute, because, see, we know that knowledge puffeth up. We know that much knowledge makes one proud. And so we don't want to go to that extreme, pride, because we know pride is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The pride of life is a form of sin. And now, on the other extreme, we don't want to be ignorant either, especially of spiritual things, because God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So what we want to do is when we want to land in between those two extremes of ignorance and pride, and say, I have a working knowledge of the Holy Spirit, spiritual operations of the gift of the Holy Spirit. I have a working knowledge of that so that I can do whatever God asks me to do. I don't want to be ignorant of spiritual matters. And just as we're reading here, would not have us to be ignorant of spiritual things. Verse 2 says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. This is before we were saved, right? We were Gentiles. We were unbelievers. We followed idolatry. We worshiped money. We worshiped people. We did all kinds of things trying to prove that we were worthy. We gave away our time, talent, and treasure to make others accept us and to prove that we were wise in our own eyes, right? What it says in verse 3, it says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're talking about operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're talking about the fundamentals of the Holy Spirit, right? Speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues and interpretation and prophecy, right? No one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That is so powerful to understand. And so as you speak in tongues, you're building up your inner man on your most holy faith, and you're preparing yourself to operate the power of God in your life. And why this is so important is because that's what's going to allow you to heal others, restore others, encourage others, deliver others, empower others. See, that's love. Love is flowing through you to others. And it's going to bless you because as you comfort others, the Holy Spirit's going to comfort you. It's a system. It's designed to have a complete and perfect work within you. Look what it says here in verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That is diversities of operations of the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's the same Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit within you doing that work. But they're different things. It says, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities. It is the same God who works all in all. So see, that's why we always defer to God. When you see Jesus Christ performing miracles when he was on earth, he always looked to God. He always spoke to God. He always prayed to God. And then he always produced those signs, miracles, and wonders that allowed people who questioned who he was, they questioned his validity. And they said, look, if you don't believe me doing this because you don't accept me, that's all right. Let the works speak for themselves. And we got to be the same way. That's why we have to believe to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, because there are people who are going to reject you just on the basis of who you are. They're going to say, I knew you when. I know people from where you're from, and they're all no good. That's what they were saying about Jesus Christ. They said, we know people from Nazareth, and they're all no good. And they'll say the same thing about you. They'll say the same thing about me. And that's why you have to let the Spirit speak. And then you have people who are so foolish to try to use the power of the Holy Spirit in order to make a living, in order to gain financial advantage over others because they believe to perform the power, but not in order to glorify God, but to bring notoriety to themselves. And in doing so, what they do is they dumb down, because that's not purpose. Purpose is to bring glory to God, draw people to Christ, and to allow people to know that the power of God is real. The power of God in you is real. And so when your motive is love of God, and then love of yourself, and then love toward others by restoring others, healing others, delivering others, encouraging others, strengthening others, then you're right where you need to be. But look, it says this diversity of operations, right? A diversity of ministries is different, but it's the same Lord. It's the same Spirit, and there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See, the power of the Holy Spirit that you operate in your life is given to benefit all, to make sure that everyone has their need met, everyone is restored. Look at what it says in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. So we have to make ourselves available to the will of God. And whatever God asks us to do, all we have to do is be prepared to say yes. To say yes, to know that you have the power within you to do what God gives you to do, and then say yes. There were times when I have had the privilege of delivering others and ministering healing to others, and God got glory out of that. That is the kind of thing that allows you to know that God is real in your life when you believe to allow God to use you in a way that benefits others. I want Pastor Carver to speak a little bit about some of her experiences with that directly. Pastor Carver? Well, I'll tell you, maybe she's having some technical difficulties.
No, I'm here.
Maybe
I'm here. My button, I just lost my button. You know, what's so crazy is that as I'm reading, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, and, you know, some people don't, I do, and it's so crazy how this is why it's important we're teaching this. They're teaching against, it's called destructionist type of theology, where they only apply certain things in the New Testament and saying it was for that time. They say it's not, some people don't believe in the fivefold. Some people don't believe in the gifts of healing, believe it or not. And I think it's ridiculous that we basically say based on dispensation that it's not available to us today when I know it is, and I know you know it is. We've seen prayers go up. We've seen people administer healing to people. My own experience through healing miraculously is just things in my body, things in my mind that God has healed me from, and I know it was him, and I know it's because I believe in the gifts of healing, people praying over me, the levels of deliverance and healing that happened in my life, and then the things that we witnessed ourselves, right? And so I feel like we really have to come against ideologies and the way that people exegete the word and misinterpret things. And it's like, wow, it's like, and the reason why I'm having this reaction is because I just read some of the commentary. You know, as I'm reading the word, I may reference commentary from time to time to get some clarity or get an expansion of what we're talking about. And it's amazing how people are teaching this. And it makes, like you're saying, the attraction to for people to gravitate towards worldly ideologies and the secret. You know what I mean? Like I was telling you before, so I have had experiences of healing. I know God is a healer. I know God is a restorer. And when I say healings, they're healings. I truly believe, though, there's a component as it pertains to our Western mindset that may be lending itself more to not believe that healings are relevant today. It's because of unbelief. when Jesus went to certain places and in his hometown, he couldn't really heal as many people because of unbelief. They were too familiar. They said, hey, that's the carpenter's son. You know, what is he doing? I still believe that level of familiarity is in the body of Christ, and there aren't a lot of healings that could be. In certain parts of the world, you do see a lot of healings. So for them to say there's no ministry of healing that's relevant to today is I don't agree with that. And I feel like that is part of the commentary socially, what we see in the body of Christ, that people just don't believe in the gifts. You know what I mean? Even though it says it right there in black and white, and that's the word, and we have seen the manifestations of these gifts in action, there's still this theology going around to talk, like you were saying, talking people out of it, dumbing it down, acting like it's not relevant to their lives so they don't have a level of expectation. And what feeds that level of low expectation is their unbelief in of the word. And but I know that gifts and healings do exist, and I have experienced them. I have seen them. I know they do. We don't see them as much in certain parts of our community or in our world or in our city or whatever the case may be, because truly those in the body of Christ that have unbelief. I'm not even talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about people in the body of Christ. Don't believe. Go ahead. Sorry.
You know what? It's very important because, you know, there are times when we minister to people for common things and, you know, Sometimes they're healed immediately. Sometimes they're healed over time. Then there are times when I know I recall an incident where I was working in a wood shop. I was a teenager, and we were working in there late at night trying to finish these projects for a special holiday, and cut his hand on bandsaw, straight through in between two of his fingers, straight through, and I ministered healing to him, and he was healed in that moment. That is the power of God. There's another gentleman. He was, and that gentleman was a believer. Well, this other gentleman, I was in my office, and I was, you know, of course, I'm a grown up now, and this gentleman that we used to discuss theology every day, but he was an atheist, and at lunchtime we would take time to speak, and he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And when he was diagnosed, he came to me for prayer, and I ministered to him, and he was healed, and he still came to the same position and same conclusion that there was no God. And the Bible speaks of people like this, but it doesn't mean that God does not allow them to experience the power of God, the hand of God. What it means is that people are crazy for God to deliver you of something like that, you to reject him, even though you can't deny the healing. See, that's
he
the
knew
thing.
He was healed.
People,
reject
Christ, and yet they receive the benefit of Christ's presence. I want to share this story here. Pastor Carver, go right ahead.
You know, you expect that from an unbeliever, but somebody who is maybe feeling desperate and comes and knows, well, let me see if I believe in your God right now, because he didn't want to die of cancer. And then he was healed. But I feel like it's worse when a person says they are a believer and they are basically saying gifts and healings, the gifts of healing don't apply to us right now. So go ahead. I just wanted to say.
One of the things that is taught is people say, well, the reason why gifts of healings isn't current thing is because if everybody was allowed to heal people, that they would lift it up in pride, and then it would become a discredit to God. And see, that's only when you start doing things for money, only when you start doing things for notoriety, only when you start to do things to make a name for yourself and please people and become like Simon the Sorcerer. Simon the Sorcerer was rebuked by the apostles. He was rebuked. He said, they were like, get away from me. They said, your motives are wrong. And see, that's the thing. People who want to be in ministry, people who want to serve God to get stuff, not concerned about the sheep, not concerned about the flock, not concerned about getting glory for God and ministering to God's people. They're concerned about getting ministered to themselves for their own aggrandizement. They are the wolves in sheep's clothing, right? I want to look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 17. Jesus Christ, now this is before Pentecost. This is before the Holy Spirit, but he's still instructing his disciples in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there was a boy who was healed here. Verse 14 of Matthew chapter 17 says, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this time does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So what you see here is there has to be a component of spiritual preparation to operate in certain levels of power. And so if you're not going to allow yourself to be available for prayer, if you're not going to allow yourself to be available to God by fasting, if you're not going to allow yourself to be immersed in meditating on the Word of God, then you are not necessarily going to be able to operate in the power of God at all levels, at all times, because you serve God when you want to serve God, when you want to serve God. And so when you step up your relationship with God, and you begin to prepare yourself to be used by God, God is going to use you, because God desires to get great glory out of you, but he knows who's going to believe to operate out of the power, the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, and who is not going to believe. So that power is not going to be misappropriated. That power is not going to be given to those who are not going to use it. You have the power. It's just you are not going to use it because you don't see the point. But if you understand that the first and great commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love yourself, and then love others, even up to your enemy. Right? When you get to that point, then you understand why it's necessary to operate out of unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. Then you understand why it does take all that. But see, you can't please God, serve God, trust God, and obey God without operating and fully embracing the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point. The point is we are seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ right now. We need to operate in that power so that what is flowing through us is reaching up into the heavenly realm and penetrating into the heavens, into that place where the devil is before the throne of God accusing us daily. We are participating by allowing God to speak to us and through us back into the heavens. And see, when we focus on our spiritual reality now today, then signs, miracles, and wonders are going to follow those who believe. I'm going to ask Pastor Carver to find that verse while I'm continuing to speak for a minute. See, signs, miracles, and wonders are going to follow those who believe, because those who believe, that's why we're called believers, because we believe. But Jesus was so annoyed when the disciples said, why can't we do this? He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, right? We don't want to be faithless and perverse. We want to get it together. We want to stop playing church. This is not a show. This is not a game. This is not for your entertainment. This is real. Life and death consequences based on your believing or unbelief. And so because of their unbelief, they could not do those mighty signs, miracles, wonders at that time. But I'll tell you what happened after Pentecost was these same people, these same disciples who missed the mark, they were doing signs, miracles, and wonders just like that. Because, see, they had Holy Spirit within them. They were out of school. School was over. And now the teacher was within them. Holy Spirit was within them. And you see this whole process where they were fully instructed. Then they were fully empowered on the day of Pentecost. And then they went moving forward. And that's how we're to be. We're supposed to be moving forward. So Pastor Carver, do you have that verse?
Yes, I do. It's in Mark, and it's part of the Great Commission, Mark 16, verses 14 all the way to 18. But it says, afterward, he appeared to the 11, this is Jesus, themselves. As they were reclining at a table, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. See, he's already dealing with their unbelief. And he said to them, go into all the world. This is the Great Commission, and many of us are familiar with this scripture, and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. And that's where it's found, but that's part of the Great Commission. And
you think about this. If Jesus Christ said they will lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover, those are absolute. Those are not, and this is before the Holy Spirit was sent. So he's telling you why the Holy Spirit is being sent. Because, see, that is the power that enables you to make what Jesus Christ said true. If you're not making what Jesus Christ said true about you will lay hands on them, the sick, and they will recover, then you're making what Jesus said a lie by not laying hands on the sick and them not recovering because you don't believe. And so we are have to step it up. We call ourselves believers, right? Well, let's get to believing. And believing is action. Believing is an action word. The game, showtime is over. And now it is time to be instructed in the things of God so that we can no longer be ignorant regarding spiritual matters, right? So it's not intended to make people feel bad because we don't know what we don't know, because God knows,
you know,
when you need to know. Vanessa, go.
You know, I recently heard a testimony of a teaching I was listening to on YouTube. This minister was sharing an experience she had when she first got saved. And shortly after that, she was called into the ministry. So she hadn't been ministering and serving very long, probably less than 10 years. And she had she was asked to speak. And so she spoke and she was finished. And this little child came up to her who had hearing aids in both ears and wanted to talk to her. And she was like, oh, you know, she wanted to know, you know, how can I help you? And she was like, the little girl said, I want to hear. You know, she could talk because she had, but she couldn't hear. She had hearing aids. So she just thought it was strange that she said, me, you want me to pray for you? And she was like, yeah, because she impressed upon that child's heart that she could heal her, even though she wasn't teaching about healing. She was just ministering, you know, and she had finished and walked off the podium. And this little girl approached her. She had to be like 9 years old, she said. And she laid hands on her, took her ear, and the little girl took her ear aids out, and she could hear.
Man.
And she kept running around the church and telling everybody she could hear. But guess what happened? She said later on, before she even left the assembly, the speaker, which is, you know, part of the teaching I was listening to, she said they had talked her out of her healing and said, you're not healed, and told her, you still can't hear. Put those ear things back in your ear. They had talked her out of her healing. And then they told her, you're never to come back to this church again and teach for us, and they threw her out of their denomination. So this happened over, when I said, this is the type of stuff we're dealing with. They talked this baby out of her miracle. She could hear.
Wow.
And I was like, that is devastating. And so this is in the body of Christ. So it's like,
when you understand,
I don't want to, what'd you say?
The second after Jesus said Jesus Christ couldn't do
exactly
mighty works.
Yeah.
They're unbelief. Unbelief is a powerful thing.
Unbelief. Exactly.
Unbelief is a powerful thing.
It is. So But these are people in the body. So this hadn't do, she went to school and her friends told, no, this, before she left the church, the elders told her, you were not healed of death. Of deafness. Put those hearing aids back in your ear. And then
that
went to
so
the speaker
demonic.
And chastised her and told her, don't you ever come back here.
And,
so
and that
I
tells you
that,
the nature of
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I told you the nature of the spirit.
Yeah.
And the spirit that you don't want to have in the body of Christ. See, when you come into agreement with that, you're setting yourself against God.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I feel like that is, she called it a demonic attack because she said, I didn't come there to lay hands on anybody. I just came to preach and they said, oh, you did so well. They gave her all these kudos for her preaching. She stepped off the podium. This little girl approached her. She laid hands on her and just believed. She was pretty new in the faith herself and in serving. She was just doing what the word said, right? And then the little girl had enough faith to believe, I want you to heal me. I want you to, because she could have asked anybody. She asked her.
And that's
I was
a
like,
great
look
example. That's a great example of embracing the power of God. And then people like seeing signs, miracles, and wonders, right? When Jesus rebuked the demon and cast that demon out of that child, and the child was cured in that very hour, he did what what his disciples couldn't do because of their unbelief. But their unbelief was connected to their lack of preparation. One of the things I see here is the connection between prayer and fasting and unbelief. Your lack of preparation spiritually is going to affect how you believe. So if you are not in prayer, if you are not taking time to fast, then it is going to affect your level of faith because you're going to be more in tune with your flesh than you are with your spirit. Your soul needs to be in alignment with your spirit and not alignment with your flesh. So I think this is such an important topic that I would like to have Pastor Vanessa, go ahead and pray, and I'm going to play the final music ministry praise at the end. So Pastor Carver,
okay.
It's all yours.
Yeah. Father God, we thank you for your love, your kindness, your presence in this message, and the intent of our hearts, both Bishop Carver and myself, about how passionate we are that people know your truth and your word and your purpose and your motive for miracles, signs, and wonders to be manifested in our lives. It's really to bring glory to you, Lord. I pray that this teaching brought glory to you in a way for those who had ears to hear, to be receptive, to believe that their healing is available to them today, and that if they're in a place where you're dealing with them about ministering or interceding as it pertains to the gifts of healing, our Father God, I thank you, Lord, that they come against any all unbelief and worry and doubt and what it looks like and fear of rejection and even courage to just say, Lord, I'm just going to plainly do what you believe. Even the people that they're praying for, the people, Lord, that we're praying for, that they be healed spiritually and naturally, that they have faith and believe in what is available to them, especially those in the body of Christ. I'm speaking for them, especially those in the body of Christ, that they stop coming out of alignment and out of agreement with your word. I pray against these assignments and agendas, Father God, that have crept in to the body of Christ, that they be uprooted out and that we get sound teaching and begin to just step out on the word. It's like Bishop Carver said, just playtime has been over. We need to either be true sons, weos, mature sons, or just step out the game. I just thank you, Lord, today that no weapon formed against your purposes and your people will prosper. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
And as always, from Spirit Alive Network, God's great love for us, and our topic of It Doesn't Take All That, it's of healing, I would like for you to be transformed. Thank you.
somebody and tell them, I need you.
I need you.
You need me.
You need me.
We're all apart.
We're all a part of God's body.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Look at somebody, tell them, agree with me.
Agree with me.
We're all a part.
We're all a part of God's body.
It is His will.
It is His will that every need be supplied. You are.
Open your mouth and say, I need you.
I need you.
Let me hear you. You need me.
You need me.
Oh, we're all.
We're all a part of God's body.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Agree with me.
Agree with me. We're all.
Look at
my,
I pray for you.
I pray for you.
You are. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's lift our hands.